are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And amen. Welcome to our live stream viewers. Welcome to our television audience. We are so glad you are here tonight. Amen. As I said, we're only halfway tonight. Take your seat for a couple of moments. Let's take care of the most important thing. Change the tune, the melody. And let's take care of the most important thing here tonight, and that is getting people saved. The only reason why we do albums is to get people into a relationship with God. And I want to tell you tonight as we begin that God loves you, that God wants a relationship with you, that you're not in this earth alive tonight by accident. Whether you're sitting right up there in the corner, down here in the spitting zone, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus loves you and that there is nothing you can do that will make this amazing God stop loving you. Come on, if you believe it tonight, give the Lord a praise in this house. Hallelujah. I want to read John chapter 4 in the Message Bible, a few verses. The shortened version of Potchefstroom and Cape Town. Amen. Because we want to get right back into worship tonight, but let's first do God's business, as I said. Okay. If you're a first-time visitor here tonight in any one of our churches, you are so welcome tonight. You are not going to leave this place the way you came tonight, okay? So the Bible says, John chapter 4, and we read verse number 2. So Jesus left the Judean countryside, went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given to his son. Jacob's well was still there. And Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noontime. Now, you know, you may sit here tonight and say, well, I never thought Jesus got tired. He was in a human body. So this is one of those days. He's running flat out in the ministry, trying to reach people, or not trying to reach people, reaching people. And there he is, wearied, tired, hungry. The Bible says a woman of Samaria, or a woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. And Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, how come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Sounds like a dispensation that many of us came through. Okay, a bad past, okay? But thank God, no matter how bad your past was, God's got a bright future for you. God's got a great future for you. Hallelujah. So they have this conversation, and Jesus really says to a woman, what you are looking for is a well of water that will never run dry. And he says to her, go call your husband, in verse number 16, and come back. And she said, I have no husband. He said, that's nicely put. I have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough. Oh, so you're a prophet. This woman now becomes all religious, who had 5 husbands. The one she was living with was not her husband. Think about that for a moment. How many people in South Africa, when you talk to them, don't say of you, manek het my kerk. Ek drink nog nie soos my bier, manek. Ek vloek nog nie soos my bier, manek. Ek is heilig en veilig. So this woman, a sinner, have a conversation with Jesus Christ, actually a very lengthy conversation for time's sake, because we only have about 20 minutes. I can't read the whole passage of scripture, but he changes her whole life and he addresses her 3 major needs. Number 1, her spiritual need. Number 2, her social need. And number 3, her emotional need. The 3 greatest needs of every human being. Number 1, her spiritual need. I mean, Jesus is tired. He's sitting at the well, and along comes this woman of a different culture. And he has this conversation with her. Actually, when you read later on, when the disciples came back, they were shocked that Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, would interact with a Samaritan. Because Samaritans in those days were viewed by the Jews as worse and lower than dogs. So a Samaritan or a Jew would not be caught dead talking to a Samaritan. It was like, almost I said the A word, it was like apartheid, I mean it was like... okay, segregation. Because there's been segregation as long as human beings have been alive on planet Earth, not only in South Africa, but as long as there's been human beings, one race has thought I'm superior to another race. One person has thought I am better than another person. So Jesus comes and he levels the playing field. He comes and he makes the ground level and he says, everybody is welcome at the foot of the cross. Come on, it doesn't matter what your background, your past, he doesn't matter whether you're educated, uneducated. Jesus Christ came to give you a future, to give you a life. Amen. Oh, come on, everybody. Can jump to their feet and give the Lord a praise. So whether you like to know it or not, your greatest need is your spiritual need. So he has this conversation with this beautiful woman. You say, how could you say she's beautiful? Because no ugly woman's going to have five husbands. I mean, she was a babe. She knew how to walk, amen. She knew how to get away with, she knew how to get away with men. Come on. She knew she wasn't the victim. Although she started the victim, she knew just how to exploit men. So I think she'd given up on men. I mean, she even did better than, or almost as good as Elizabeth Taylor, who had eight husbands, Richard Burton the second time. And the second time she said, this time I'll only keep you a little while, okay? So she was one of those women. She had five husbands. And Jesus says, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. I'm living with a man. Says, you've spoken truthfully, and watch the change in her. Suddenly she takes out the Bible so big you can choke a donkey. She begins to quote the prophets. She gets religious. She's living with a man. Yes, it's the man of God. And rather than saying, hey, I messed up, I'm broken, what does she do? She quotes the prophet. She says, okay now, shabba, shandai hundai, tie my bow tie. Okay, hallelujah. You know, your father said you should worship in Jerusalem. Our father said you worship in the mountain. Your father said, Khruadduab. My father said, Klaimduab. Your father said, ancestral worship. My father said, no ancestral worship. Jesus said, let's cut through the chase. Because this is not about a religion. This is about a relationship. Come on. So what does he do? He breaks her religious facade. Because we all hide behind our walls of religion. As soon as we feel exposed, as soon as we want to hide from God, we pull out the religious card. I have my church. Or some people come and they say, well, I used to go to church, but the church hurt me. I don't go to church anymore. I just stay home and read my Bible. Well, obviously, you're not reading your Bible, because your Bible says, neglect not the assembling of yourself together. Come on. So he breaks through her religious facade. Greatest need that all of us have. When God created Adam, it was for fellowship. We built this church not to impress people, but to bring people into a relationship with God. Otherwise, there's no purpose, because your life is as a vapor. It's yet today, gone tomorrow. Full of glory today, nothing tomorrow. As young people, we think we will live forever, but that's not the truth. Jesus broke through the religion. When Nicodemus, a religious leader, came to Jesus by night, he said, Rabbi, no man can do these works unless God be with him. Jesus cut through the chase. He said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now people come today and they say, what is this born again stuff? It's what Jesus said. You have to be born again. You have to have a second birth. Nicodemus said, must I go back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, how is it that you being a teacher ask me what it means to be born again? You have to be born of water and of the Spirit. You have to be born through the womb of your mother, and you have to be born again by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. You have to experience the new birth in your spirit. And she got it. That what I was looking for is in the relationship with God. Jesus said, I am the gift. And then she got it. She left her water pot and she ran back and she said, come see a man that is different, a man that looked at me different, a man that did not give me the up and down look. But a man who saw me for who I am. So he loved her for who she was and where she was. And he led her into a relationship with his father. So he addressed her greatest need, which was her spiritual need. Second greatest need, shortened version. Her social need. Greatest need we have is to belong. We want to be liked. Watch people on social media. Watch people on their groups. I'm sure if I was a young guy, unsaved, I would send one text to 10 girls and see who would bite. What you doing tonight? What's up? Oh, people will do crazy things to belong. Let's do a selfie. First time while I preach. Okay, so, listen, people will do crazy things to belong. People lose themselves. Young people come and study, and to fit in, they will give up their virginity, something that their parents protected for years and years and years. Because somehow we have this need to belong. We are social creatures, and we want to feel we fit in somewhere. We belong somewhere. So we will watch a hip-hop artist, or we will watch R&B, or we will watch Justin Bieber, whoever, and if he wears his hat this way, suddenly we wear our hat that way. If he cuts his hair this way, suddenly we cut our hair that way. We don't even know why we do it. We just do it. Because somebody thinks it's cool. Because we want to fit in. Well, she had a problem. She's a social outcast. She has a twofold problem. Number one, she's a Samaritan. She's born in the wrong culture, or so she thought, or so she was taught. Taught that you're inferior, taught that you cannot be loved, taught that you're not important as a human being. Imagine growing up and just being despised just because of the color of your skin. Couldn't climb on a bus because of the color of your skin. Could not walk into the front door because of the color of your skin. Could not buy property because of the color of your skin. Oh, South Africa, we need a move of God. We need a move of the Holy Ghost in our nation in the name of Jesus Christ that will remove the hatred and break the walls of racism that is still in our country. We say, God, heal our country, heal our land in the name of Jesus. Every time a Jew looked at her. I mean, the Bible says when the disciples came back, they were astonished that Jesus could talk to this kind of a woman. Not that she was an unclean woman, but she was a Samaritan. We come out of a tragic past in this nation. And it's a sad thing that politicians had to show the church that racism is a sin. Now it's getting quiet, and that's okay. It's a sad day that after 25 years, we still have segregation in most of our churches. That people still celebrate the skin of their color more than what Jesus came to do. People still celebrate their language more than what Jesus came to do. Still people say white is better, black is better. Still people want to talk about them and us. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Do you think there's going to be a compartment in heaven for you and people that think like you? I want to tell you that Jesus Christ came to make everybody equal. We all come from one blood. We all come from the human race. We all stand equal before God. We stand equal before the throne of God. Oh, you need to give the Lord a praise tonight for revival in South Africa. That hatred will be abolished. And that the church will shine the light and the love of Jesus as Jesus did when he walked this earth, not discriminating against anybody based on their skin color. So she's an outcast. The Bible says the disciples came back. They were shocked. The look on their faces. Have you ever walked in a place and people look at you like, what did the cat drag you here? You know, as a pastor, sometimes you walk into places and you see some people are happy to see you and you walk in, other people have an opinion. And you know what I want to do? I want to walk over there and say, what's up? You're nobody, going nowhere. Especially if it's a young little person. I want to say, just wait here, I'm calling my boy. He's still half saved. You know, it's like Jesus kept all his ushers half saved. I always tell Pastor Jack, don't get them too saved now. Even before Jesus was betrayed, Peter still had his sword and he was ready to chop the high priest servant's ear off. So I say to all our ushers, hey bros, work out in the gym. Stand back for no one. I'll lay hands, I'll bless them, you don't. Amen. People think they can push the church around. They think they can push God's people around. Sitting behind their little computer. Creating a fake profile. Too cowardly to come into the light. Second problem she had a reputation. She's the woman that when other women see her and they walk with their husbands, they hold their husbands closer. You're not going to have to worry about your husband if you give him the right food at home. Amen. Come on. If you serve hot meals, if you get rid of the frozen snacks and you begin to serve great banquets in your bedroom, you're not going to have to worry about the woman that had five husbands. Problem is not the other woman, the problem is you. You're a frozen Shabba Shabba Shandai. He doesn't need a scripture in his hamburger. He doesn't need anointing oil on his pillow. He needs his wife. Am I amen? Not in an oversized tracksuit, but a wife that's a hot mama. Come on, some brother in the house. Shout hurrah or amen or anything tonight. Okay, by the way, she's married. I just want to make that very clear. Okay. She's the girl that everybody wants to date, but no one wants to marry. Here's a tip, girls. Guys talk. Oh, they'll promise you the world, but if they get their way with you, they're going to go tell their friends. Jesus came to heal that. Because what she was looking for was not in another relationship. What she was looking for is what only Jesus could give her. That which would settle her heart. The need for acceptance. The need for acceptance. The need to belong. And I want to tell you, no matter what people have said about you, no matter what you have done, you belong tonight. God loves you. No matter how many times you have failed, no matter how many times you have fallen, your dirt will not keep God away from you. Come on, your sin does not matter to God. While the disciples pulled their noses up, Jesus invaded her world and he loved her where she was. A woman living in adultery. Number three, her emotional need. Spiritual, social, emotional. She needed to be loved for who she was. We grow up in a world where people love us for what they can get from us. Parents teach their children, if you do this, I'll do this. Your Father in heaven says, I love you. You say, why, God? Because I do. I love you as you are. I love you where you are. There is nothing you can do that can separate you from my love. This woman, an outcast, a reject, ran to religion. Religion never helped her, as many of us did. Before we came to Christ, we ran to religion. We went to church, but we lived a double life. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. She went further. She was looking for love in relationships. Given up on marriage, had five husbands. Now, it was a one-night stand or a three-night stand or a three-month stand. It was jumping from relationship to relationship. But here's the deal. Those relationships never filled the void that she was looking for in her heart. Every time she woke up to another man, she was emptier. She was lonelier. She had left something of herself behind. Every time she slept with somebody outside of marriage, she became emptier. She lost something of herself every time. She was a broken woman. She was a desperate woman. She was a lost woman. She was a lonely woman. Although people abused her, used her, and people looked at her on the outside, treated her based on what they saw, Jesus was different. Because he never looks at you, he never looks at me the way that people look at us. He never judges you according to where you are. He loves you because of the price he paid 2,000 euros ago. He sent his son to die for you. 2,000 euros ago, God said, I'm not mad with you. I did not send my son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through my son may be saved.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Art.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life back to you. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Tonight, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for washing me in your blood. Thank you for accepting me just as I am and for giving me a new beginning. Tonight, I become your child. I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I belong to you now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.